Evening is 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read the scripture in connection with the text of this evening's sermon, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the second part of that verse. There are two reasons I have for reading 2 Timothy chapter 2. The first is the fullness of the exhortations, charges, admonitions, warnings, and threats that are all given to Timothy by the Apostle Paul for Timothy to remember, to keep, and to do as the work of his ministry. But secondly, in the midst of all these exhortations, we have the word of verses 20 and 21 of being a vessel prepared unto the Lord, as it is said, prepared unto every good work. So keeping that in mind, we read 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So far we read God's holy word. The text of this evening's sermon is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the latter part, Ephesians 2, verse 10. There we have these words. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is a striking matter that in these three verses of Ephesians 2, and that in these verses that so well give to us the heart of the Reformed faith of salvation by God's grace alone, that we should find such a very powerful contrast. That contrast is that on the one hand, on the one side, in verses 8 and 9, we have a thorough, a complete, and a strong rebuke and prohibition. In so many ways, over and over again, it is said, not by works. We not merely have the open and the free declaration given to us in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. We might say that simple prohibition of verse 9 is also a reflection of what we have in verse 8. This is simply what it means to say that we are saved by grace through faith. And even that faith, that not of yourselves. Really the same thing as saying, not by works, lest any man should boast. So that there is, in verses 8 and 9, absolutely, wholly, and completely no room for works. No room for works of any kind. No room for any works according to any qualification. That word works is not defined. That word works is not qualified. Not by works. But on the other hand, in verse 10, we find exactly the opposite. We might say that strong prohibition against works is turned completely into the opposite in verse 10. Not only are good works, we might say, allowable, we might say not only that good works are encouraged, but good works are established here to be the very crown of being the workmanship of God, of being the handiwork of God. Why are we the workmanship of God? Where are we created in Christ Jesus? The answer is given to us in the short summary passage about salvation by grace alone. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Because really, when it comes down to it, as only as we have this truth set before us in this last verse of these three, and in the last words of this last verse, that we have set before us the glorious wonder of what it truly and really means to be the workmanship of God. What kind of work has he done? How thorough, how complete. It is that thorough and it is that complete that those who are saved do walk. They walk with their hearts, they walk with their souls, they walk with their ears, they walk with their minds, they walk with their hands, their feet, their eyes, their lips, in this way of good works. Because God is that kind of a glorious workman. He is that kind of a glorious re-creator in Jesus Christ, that we might show forth the power and the wonder of His grace in every good work that we do. So then we consider this text, Ephesians 2, verse 10, the second part under the theme, walking in good works. We see, first of all, the good end, secondly, the true walk, and finally, the divine preparation. When I made this sermon, and I tried to think of a way to identify and describe to God's people what good works are, I could come up with nothing better than what we have in our creed and our confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33, question and answer 91. But what are good works? And that description of the Heidelberg Catechism is given to us as a strict definition. Good works are only. There are no other good works than those described by this Lord's Day according to the Word of God. Only. And there are three ways that good works are described in that Lord's Day. The first is this, that they proceed out of a true faith. They proceed out of a true faith. The second is this, they're performed according to God's law. And thirdly, they are performed to the glory of God. They proceed out of a true faith. They are performed according to God's law and to His glory. Now, that being a definition of good works, it cannot merely be a way of asking this question, well, what kind of works are good works? But must also define this. What exactly is the goodness of those good works? How are those works called good, really and truly good? And then those three qualities listed by the Heidelberg Catechism tell us about that goodness of good works is fundamentally this. They're spiritual. They are spiritual in character. For a good work to be a good work means it has to have a certain kind of character spiritually at its heart. And that means a good work cannot be merely, it cannot be only outward. There's no such thing as a purely outward good work. The judgment, the criterion for a standard of good works cannot be outward. What went into that good work? And that brings us right into the qualities and the conditions identified by the Heidelberg Catechism. What makes a good work? So we want to look then closely at these three elements as they are spiritual. First of all, we can say simply, source. Source. Their source must be a true faith. And we want to say about that source of true faith is this, that identification of that these good works proceed out of a true faith does not mean merely, it does not mean only, that only true believers can do good works. It is true. Only true believers can do good works. That brings us back to the beginning of our churches in 1924, when common grace began to be defined according to the appearance of good works. Look at all the good works that are done by ungodly, unregenerate men. How is it that they are good? They have to be good because they appear good. We need an explanation for how they are good. But they forgot Lord's Day 33. They forgot question answer 91. They just simply can't be good because they don't proceed out of a true faith. But that these good works proceed out of a true faith is this, that they proceed out of the faith of the believer's heart as that heart and how that heart rests in Christ. Christ is the source. He is the vine. Believers are the branches. Through the union with Him known as faith, out of that union proceeds every good work. Christ must be the ultimate author of every good work done by the believer for it to be good. It is faith as the bond that joins us to Christ, making us one with Christ, that out of Him we live and move and walk. Secondly, there is the law. The law is the rule. And we might say the simple short word that identifies the law as the rule of all good works is the word according to, that's used by the Heidelberg Catechism itself. The law is a rule. The law is a guide. The law shows to you and me what is pleasing before God. It shows what behavior, what conduct of our outward lives, conduct of our heart, conduct of our mind, what is pleasing to God, as if we ask God, what is pleasing in thy sight? What is acceptable with thee? And He says to you and me, this is what is pleasing to me. This is what is acceptable to me. Do this. Obey my commandments. And then we might say integrally related is the third aspect of good works to God's glory. You might say that the simple word of the requirement here of good works is that they have this to or toward or unto. They're not done for self. They're not done with a view to impressing others. They're done unto God. He is the aim. He is the goal. He is the end. Now, in that way, we might look very closely at the goodness of these good works. And we are met with the stunning truth that what is good, what is truly, what is genuinely good, is that which God approves of. That's the fundamental rule. What is good is what God approves of. What is pleasing to God was acceptable to God. When you come to this thing called the good and good, what we must see about that goodness is that it must lead to God. And it must show to us God. So in this respect, we must understand the wonderful and glorious circle in which we are swept up in the wonder of our salvation. And the great question is this: how can anything that we do be good before God? And the only answer that we have to that is given to us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. That brings us to this wonder of workmanship. What we saw in Isaiah chapter 56 is reflected in Ephesians chapter 2. We also read of in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And there we have these words, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that is, those vessels to dishonor, spoken in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel. A vessel. A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Again, a vessel. This is to be such a goodness as we see reflected in creation. As we are said here to be, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Let's think about that word of creation, leading us to the record of Genesis chapter 1. And we have the very same word given to us about creation. Some of the days of the week, at the end of the week, we have this word of God. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. You think of that word, the declaration of God, now applied to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God has his work. He does his work. He completes his work. At the end, what does he do? He looks on you and me, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and he is able to say, behold, it is good. My workmanship, my creation is good. And even this, good with the goodness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Such is the end of our salvation as the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. We are meant to understand very properly then our relationship to these good works. We have seen what they are. What now is our relationship to them? We have this word given to us to demonstrate the complete character of these good works. That is the aim. That is the end. That is the goal, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We might say, for good works. But what about those good works? The Word of God follows with this. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. Created to walk. We are God's workmanship to walk. Now that word walk signifies our activity. Our activity. What does it mean to walk? We might look at the simple activity of walking. Walking involves some kind of purpose. Walking asks the question, where are you coming from? Where are you going to? What's your pathway? What's your journey? That word walk speaks of an individual carrying on in the activity of walking, moving in this particular direction along this way or this pathway, going from here to there. It also involves effort. It involves energy. It involves a certain consciousness, not merely where you are going to and maybe from where you came, but also maintaining balance, maintaining a rhythm and a stride. It means the ability to put one foot in front of the other and bring the foot left behind again forward and doing the same over and over again, carrying on as one walks. We might say walking is described to us here as a very simple human activity. But even be related to creation. We are created with arms, with legs. We are created with a heart and a mind. And one of the purposes of being created was in order to walk. We are placed on the foreground in this word as carrying on in our activity. We are given in this word of God a very definite kind of walk. Very definite, then, kind of activity. This is how this walk is described to us in good works. In good works. We might say, on the one hand, this pathway is to be defined then by good works. We might say that this pathway is then according to God's law. It is out of faith. And this pathway has a straight course to the honor and the glory of God, as all those things about it. But that way also signifies this: in that way and among these good works, our motions. And we might say that this way is populated. We might say as a forest is populated with trees, as a walk. Walking in that forest among those trees, in those trees one goes, and in those trees among those trees one walks. But yet that can't be the meaning of this passage. It is rather this, that these good works are meant to define the way in which we walk as being filled with and carrying on and producing these good works. You might say that it is the way of a tree to bear fruit. It is the way of a good tree to bear good fruit. And it is the way of a fruit tree, spiritually, rooted in Christ by faith, to bring forth out of Christ through its root, through its trunk, through its branches, the fruit of good works. Such is how we must understand this way. And yet, it cannot be the only way that we define, the only way that we describe this way of good works. There is something very close in verse 10 that also identifies this way. Because it is said here, not only do we walk in good works, but also says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We might say that this way is built up to be the way of good works. It's characterized by good works. But there's something else that is in that way, something else that defines that way before it is the way of good works. It is before that the way of salvation. It is before that the way of faith. And before that, it is the way of Jesus Christ himself, who is our righteousness, our wisdom, our sanctification, and our glory before God. That way is him. And that way is all about showing the glory of Christ in all manner of good works. It is his glory to give to you and me the strength, the ability, and all the walk in those good works. This is the way that follows and must follow out of verse 8. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then into verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. To be his workmanship in Christ. So that we are God's workmanship to be active. We are God's creation to be active. In that light, we can look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We look at that chapter. We read that chapter. It is so full of instruction. It is so filled with callings, commands, warnings. And if you look carefully at 2 Timothy chapter 2, you will see that those warnings and those callings are expressed in such sharp, clear, stirring language. And you cannot come away from that chapter without thinking that chapter makes Timothy a very, very busy man. He is called to exert himself to the utmost to do everything that is contained in that chapter. It begins properly by being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and everything flows out of that. Timothy, run a seminary. Teach men to teach others how to preach the gospel. Strive. Verse 3, endure hardness. Verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. And in this way, Timothy is to appropriate to himself the language of the charge given in the form of a promise, a word of God to him in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Timothy, give your utmost. Strive to be a vessel. A vessel honorable, prepared unto every good work. Now I think of this word given also in the context of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to his young son in the faith, also a minister. A minister commanding, exhorting a minister what to do, and laying before that minister essentially this charge. Now, you be an example to the whole congregation of what they're supposed to be busy about and busy doing. Be an example for them in their whole life. All this activity, all this doing. And now think of yourselves as members of Timothy's church in Ephesus. Well, here's your example. He is doing what the Apostle Paul told him to do. And he's giving it everything he has. And then you are commanded to follow after him. Follow his example. Be busy. Be diligent. Be careful. Be thorough. Flee. Strive after. Pursue. All commands, warnings, promises, exhortations, and admonitions given to you and laid upon you. Why? And how? What is the purpose? To walk in them. Because that's how God molds. That's how God shapes. That's how God crafts you, all in His grace through Jesus Christ. All through faith in Christ. Believing, trusting in Christ. And that brings us quite simply back to the first verse of 2 Timothy 2. Where is the root of every ability of Timothy to carry out this commandment? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what does this mean then? When you hear this word of God, as in 2 Timothy chapter 2, understand the grace of God not merely giving you the ear to hear this word, but the hearing of the word itself. That grace of God not merely gives you the mind and the heart to receive and to believe and to desire obedience to that commandment and to follow that exhortation, but also the thinking of the mind, the believing of the heart, the looking to Christ to give to you what you need to obey His commandments. Even further, the walk, the movement of the eyes looking for opportunities to serve is from the Lord. The moving of the lips and the word and the tongue of a good word is from the Lord. The fingers going out to perform and to do a good work, that is the handiwork of God in Jesus Christ. It is the wonder, it is the power, it is the glory of being so thoroughly and so fully the workmanship of God created unto good works. And such is the glory of Christ to be manifest or to manifest Himself in this multitude of good works done by His people, walking in them. I think one of the best ways that this is expressed simply is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says a word there about himself. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul speaks of what he did as an apostle and as one born out of all time, calling him the least of the apostles. But he says this about himself in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. How is it not in vain? But I labored more abundantly than they all. All the other apostles. And Paul says there, I labored more abundantly than they all. But he cannot stop there. He finishes by saying, yet not I. He didn't labor. He didn't labor more abundantly than they all. Not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Grace. Through faith, out of Christ. There is all our walk in good works. That brings us to something very, very amazing. You and I are meant to think of our ways, What are they? You think of your way as an individual child of God and a believer in this world. On a day-to-day basis, tomorrow, Monday, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to see? And what are you going to do? That's your way. Now, as a believer, is your calling to go into the world and to carry on in this way of good works. To be able to say, how can I serve my God? How can I obey my God as a faithful servant of His redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ today? What does He have for me to do? You seek His guidance. You seek opportunities. You seek the strength to obey Him and serve Him when you begin the day. So you go through your day. What about the good works that you do? Now think about them. You have your motive. You know you have your guidance. And you know you have in your heart the desire to show your gratitude to God for all that He has done. So you go into the world. In that world you are active. You are busy. You labor and you carry on. And you have opportunities to take and in them to do good works, remembering you are His workmanship. Now, at the end of that day, you might think of what you have done. You might think of the opportunities that God has given to you and how He used you to serve Him with thanksgiving to God. And now you consider that way, and that way must appear to you and me as being random. Did you know what opportunities you would have over the course of the day? And your way seemed to be filled with all kinds of your decisions. Well, you went here, you went there, you did this, you did that because, well, you decided to, you wanted to. And sometimes you look for opportunities, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes opportunities stare you in the face, and you don't take them up to do good. But you do good works. And now you must think, in every good work that you did, there was someone who not only knew it long before you did it, but someone who determined before every good work that you would do, and then all the circumstances that led to the doing of each and every one of those good works. How you would walk, how you would think, how you would react, all of your pathway. And so strong is this word of God here. It not merely says, it cannot say that God foresaw you doing the good work that you did. It cannot say merely that God gave to you the desire or the ability to do that good and then waited to see whether or not you would do it. This word is so strong, it is that God prepared beforehand every good work that you do. Prepared it beforehand. Before you did it, it was there as God prepared it. You might say, from this standpoint, from this viewpoint, you walked into it. You walked into it because God had prepared it for you. And yet, at the same time, He so prepared it for you to be His workmanship created that you did it. You walked. And such is the wonder and the glory of being His handiwork. Most amazing thing. Now we bring that to bear upon being the workmanship of God and being created by God. You are not a mere building to be walked into and to be looked around in. You are not a mere sculpture chiseled out of marble. It's not your nature. You're not wood. You're not stone. You're flesh and blood. You have a will. You have a mind. You have a heart. You have arms and legs and eyes and lips to move. And that is how you must be the workmanship of God. Created, worked upon in order to walk and to walk in them. We might think of this workmanship in this way. Created to live, created to walk, created to move. With, in, your heart, your soul, your mind, your limbs. Filled up, strengthened, guided and directed always by the wonderful, almighty grace of God to show His power, His glory, and His grace in your walk. And that is the wonder of your redemption. We want to see that wonder as full redemption. Now, in order to see that, we need to go back to the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2, who you were. Who were you? Well, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what was that death? Look very closely at verse 2. Wherein? In which ye walked. Wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, following that rule, obeying that law, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. How fully was that in our nature? Our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our feet, our legs, our lips. This fully. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy. So great was His mercy to work such a full and complete deliverance, to deliver us from that walk into another walk. A walk no longer according to the prince of the power of the air, a walk no longer fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind, but a walk as pleasing to God in all good works. What joy, what blessedness is ours to be that workmanship of God, walking in good works to the praise, the honor, and the glory of our mighty God and our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, a word of grace, a word of salvation. And we thank Thee for the blessed privilege of that grace to be Thy workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we pray, work in us by Thy grace, that we may more and more delight to be that workmanship, that we may more and more delight to please Thee in all manner of good, that we may show Thy glory and Thy honor, to serve Thee and love Thee according to Thy commandments. We need Thy grace. So sanctify us, so consecrate us, for the sake of Thy glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, our mighty Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. We sing Psalter number 304. Psalter number 304. Taken from Psalm 111. We sing the first four stanzas and the seventh, 1 through 4 and 7 of Psalter 304. Psalter 304. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.